Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Again today, I'm continuing to talk about self-centeredness and how that affects us and how it hinders us from receiving from God. And of course, this is our fourth day this week to deal with this. And so I've already covered a tremendous amount of material on this. I certainly can't go back and redo all of that, but it's essential that you get these basics. The first 2 days, basically, I was just trying to establish how deadly this self-centeredness is. One of the scriptures I used was Colossians 3:5, where it says covetousness, which I believe is just another way of saying self-centeredness. You're wanting everything for yourself. You want everything everybody else has got. And it says that covetousness is idolatry. Man, that's a strong statement. Most of you wouldn't want anything to do with idolatry, but we don't recognize that this self-centeredness is the equivalent of idolatry. And it is rampant in our society today. So I spent the first 2 days talking about that. On our Wednesday's broadcast, we talked from Proverbs chapter 13, where it says, "Only by pride cometh contention." And I'm really not changing the focus of what I'm saying. I'm not now beginning to talk about contention or strife and what causes it. But what I'm doing, I'm using this to show that self-centeredness is what causes us to be angry and to be offended and to get the hurts and the pains that we have. And I spent all of the program yesterday explaining this. I won't go back through it, but pride has been misinterpreted, misunderstood by a lot of people to think it's only arrogance and exalting yourself above what you're supposed to be. But that's only one manifestation of it. It's also timidness. And shyness is very, very, very prideful, because pride at its root is nothing but self-centeredness. If you've missed any of that teaching, you need to get this tape that we're offering. It's a free tape to you, and I promise you it'll help. So let me go back to this and say, only by pride cometh contention, and help you to explain this. And if you can understand this and apply it to your personal life, I tell you, this will make a huge, huge difference. So I've already dealt with some of these things that people think, no, it's what this person did to me that made me angry. But no, Jesus had things happen to him that were worse than what's happened to you and me. And yet he was able to say, "Father, forgive them." And it was because he was the most selfless person. He came into this world not to save his own life, but to come and save ours. He was born to die. He did not come here to gain something for himself. He came here to share with us what he already had. Do you know that God could have wiped out the entire human race and have just started over? He could have said, "Man, this is terrible. Let's just have a do-over." He came close to doing that during the days of Noah. But you know what? God could have done that. He would have been just to do it, but he didn't. And when he sent his son down here, Jesus didn't come to redeem himself. It wasn't to pay for some problem or some mistake on his part. He could have totally written us off and have never missed us. I mean, saying never miss us from the sense that he had to have us. It was just his love that he put upon us. He would have missed us in the sense that he loves us so intensely that I believe it would have been a grief to his heart. And so that's the reason that he sent his son. But the point I'm making is, when Jesus came, he did it all for us. He didn't do it for himself. See, he was totally selfless. And that's the reason that he was able to turn around to the very people crucifying him and mocking him and saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And whether you recognize it or not, it is our selfishness that causes us to take such offense and be so hurt when people do things to us. I know that there are many of you watching or listening by radio that are saying, "No, that's not so. It's just normal. It is natural. It is human nature that when a person mistreats you, that you're supposed to be hurt and that you get bitter." And you may think that you can work through it in a period of time, but to get to a place to where you just literally don't have those things bother you and destroy you, many people think that that is absolutely impossible. And it's not. Now, I am not a perfect example, and I'm not trying to present it that way, but I'm telling you this. I may not have arrived, but I've left, and I'm not the way that I used to be, and I'm not the way I'm going to be, but I've seen in my own life God work in me to such a degree that I honestly could just totally forget things, not even recognize what people have done to me, not be offended. I used to be a very insecure person that was offended and worried about all kinds of things. And God has done a change in my life. And it's this teaching on self-centeredness and learning how to die to myself that has caused that to come to pass. There was actually an instance when I was pastoring a church in Pritchett, Colorado, where it's a very long story, but I had some things happen. People got mad at me, and one of them was one of my elders. And I went by and saw this elder, and he got mad at me and chewed me out, yelled at me, and told me that I had lied, I'd stolen money from the church. He accused me of adultery. It was just weird, the things he was doing. And he was getting on the phone and calling people and repeating these things. So I heard about it, and I went to confront him. And I didn't confront him so that I could justify myself and so that I could prove myself right, because I knew that I was innocent and I knew that God loved me. And honestly, I went to visit this guy because I loved him, and I knew that this would cause him a lot of damage. If he took this offense, it would destroy him. So I went and talked to him. He got mad. He yelled at me. It was a very negative situation. But you know what? Because I went in there with a selfless attitude and I was concerned about him and not about me. Some of you are going to find this hard to believe, but it's the truth. This is my testimony. I left that place and literally forgot all of the stuff that he had done. I'd forgotten about one of my close friends calling me an adulterer, a liar, a thief. I just forgot it. And to prove that, the next week, I was just in a habit of every time I drove by his business, I'd stop and go in and visit with him because I was a pastor and just spend some time with him. And my wife was with me in the car. I remember driving in front of his place, and I stopped and I asked her if she wanted to come in, and she said, "No, I don't want to go in." So I went in and only stayed for about 10 minutes. And when I came out, I told Jamie, I said, "Something's different." I said, "He's not friendly the way he used to be." I said, "Something's bothering him. I know it is." And my wife just looked at me like, "What's wrong with you?" And she had to remind me of what had happened the week before when he accused me of stealing money from the church, lying, committing adultery. And I totally spaced it and forgot it. I never took it personal. And again, I'm not saying that I am perfect and I never have any problems, but I'm saying that I have seen this principle I'm talking about work in my life to the point that if you aren't selfish and if you aren't trying to promote yourself, you won't even notice when people don't give you the recognition that they should, when people criticize you, when people come out against you. It just won't have any effect. The only reason things like that bother you are because you are so in love with yourself. And you can reach a place to where your reputation, what people think about you, isn't a big deal. You just want to glorify God. You want to use your life to bless other people. But you are not selfish in your attitudes. And this is what this verse is talking about. Proverbs 13:10. Only by pride cometh contention. Proverbs 17:14 says contention is the beginning of strife. So all strife, anger, all those kind of things come out of self-centeredness or pride. And I tell you, that's awesome. See, if you understand this, here's some of the benefits that this will work in your life. If it's what other people do that make you angry, then you know what? You can't ever change what other people do completely. You could influence it to a degree, but you cannot change, you cannot control other people. God isn't into that. That's witchcraft. Satan manipulates and controls people and casts spells. God doesn't do that. God will woo a person, present himself, but it's their free will. You are never going to get God to just control things so that no person will ever rub you the wrong way, that no person will ever insult you, that everybody's going to treat you perfectly. And if you are waiting to have joy and peace and harmony in your life until everything in your life is perfect, you aren't going to have any joy and peace. That's just not the way it works. As long as you're trying to change external things, you're going to be frustrated. But if you will recognize that what makes you angry is not what people do, but it's what's on the inside of you that reacts to what people do. It is your self-centeredness. It's the fact that you are so in touch with yourself. You are so focused on only your side of the issue. If you can understand that, then you know what? It doesn't matter what anybody else does to you. If you deal with this self-centeredness and remove it, you can stop dead in its tracks self-centeredness, and it will cease to allow this anger and bitterness to germinate on the inside of you. I know that there's some of you watching the program right now that you're just saying that this is too simple. That's not that way at all. You can't live a life to where you just don't get angry if people do things to you. Well, don't wake me up, because that's the way that I'm living. You know, I made a decision a long time ago. One of the requirements of an elder over in 1 Timothy chapter 3, I forget the exact verse, must be around 6 or 7 or something. It says that an elder or a bishop has to be sober. And that's not talking about not drunk. It's talking about grave, serious, or literally, if you look it up in the Greek, it's talking about not given to speculative imagination. And you know what that's talking about? Is all the time wondering, speculating, what does this person think about me? Is this person upset with me? Is this person like me? You know what? That is a trait of a selfish, self-centered person. What you need to do is literally forget yourself and quit trying to build a following around yourself and promote yourself and draw people to yourself. And if you would get more into blessing other people, God, how can I bless them? If it wasn't self-centered, if it was other-centered, did you know what? People will always love you. If you go out of your way to bless them and make them feel good and try and uplift other people, you will always wind up benefiting from it. And see, that's what this is talking about, speculative imagination. And that's what I've been talking about, that's the only thing that makes you angry. We're going to take a break here. Our announcer is going to give you some information about how you can receive a tape on this, and then I'll be right back.
To listen to today's teaching, you can go to our website and click on Free Audio Teachings Online and search for the title Self-Centeredness, the Source of Grief. This MP3 download is made available on our website at no charge. As Andrew mentioned on today's program, you can also get the teaching on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Simply request teaching TSK7 when you contact us. Be sure to specify either the CD or DVD teaching. The ministry is celebrating the New Year's holiday, and our helpline is closed today. But you can always go to our website, where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. Or if you prefer, you can write us. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. We hope to hear from you today. And now, Gospel Truth continues.
So we've been talking from Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10, where it says, only by pride comes contention. And I've tried to redefine pride, that it's not just talking about arrogance, it's talking about self-centeredness. And I tell you, this is a point I'm really trying to drive home today. We use everything else as an excuse to say it's that person, it's what they did, it's my hormones, it's any number of things. It's my generations. That's the way that my family's always been. And that's just not true. It's the fact that you are so thinking about yourself that it makes you sensitive. It makes you touchy. It puts a chip on your shoulder when you are self-centered. When you are thinking about other people, it'll just diffuse it. You cannot be angry, bitter, contentious, loving other people more than you love yourself. On the other hand, you cannot turn around and love other people if you are a self-centered, selfish person. Love is a self-denying thing. Matter of fact, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I believe it's the Amplified Bible, where it was listing the characteristics of God's kind of love, and it says that God's kind of love doesn't even notice a wrong suffered. That's a strong statement. Do you know when you're operating in God's kind of love, you don't even pay attention to things that are happening to you, because love is not for yourself, it's for other people. Love is other people-centered. Let me give you an example of this that I think will help drive it home. But I remember one time watching a television program, and this program was against capital punishment. It was trying to sway public opinion away from capital punishment. And the way that they did this, they took a man who was in a prison cell on death row waiting to be executed. and they showed him, and you know, the way that you can manipulate things and make it set a mood through television, through movies. What they did, they had this thing, it was in color, and then all of a sudden they went to black and white. They got to play in this morbid, sad music that just automatically started bringing emotions out of you. They showed this man sitting there with his head, you know, on his hands, and he's just desperate. He was depressed. It showed that terrible living conditions and all of these kind of things. And then they went down the hall, and I forget if it was an electric chair or a gas chamber or something like that. But anyway, they showed the way that they were going to execute this prisoner. And they showed you all of these things. And what it began to do was start playing on your sympathies, your mercies. Now, I'm a proponent of capital punishment. And I know that those of you that are watching all across Europe, it is nearly universally accepted that that is barbaric. And I've even met a lot of Christians that believe that you can't be a Christian and believe in capital punishment. But I believe the Bible teaches it in Genesis chapter 9. It's very clear. I'm not excited about it. I don't enjoy it. I don't think it's something that blesses me. It doesn't make me happy. But I do believe it's better than the alternative. And so, anyway, you can debate that, but that's not my point. I'm saying I am a proponent of capital punishment, yet they showed this film in such a way that it started playing on your sympathies and your pities. And then they actually took the pictures of this man who was about to be executed, and they showed pictures of him when he was a little baby. And you know, a little baby is so innocent. And you look at that, and then they would flash back to the prison cell and that he's going to be executed, and you would make this connection. And you would think, man, it's hard to believe that regardless of what a person does, that someday we are going to kill them. When you see this little baby picture and you see that at one time they were so innocent. Then it showed him growing up and playing, you know, and doing different things. And when he was only, I think, 5 years old, he was sexually molested and he had things happen. And before you know it, he was in and out of prison. Even as before he became a teenager, he had all these terrible things happen. And they showed you his side of the story and got you so sympathetic towards him to where you nearly felt like, you know, this guy couldn't help it. His life was such a mess. In a sense, he was just forced into this kind of a lifestyle. And as I watched this, again, I'm saying, I believe in capital punishment. But as I watched it and I saw things from only his side, I got to feeling so sympathetic towards him. I had the thoughts come about, God, there's got to be some other way. This seems too harsh. It seems too strong. And while I was thinking about that and trying to deal with these emotions and reconcile it to Scripture, as I was thinking about this, the Lord just spoke to me. And he said, what would happen if you took the exact same audience watching this broadcast and is feeling sympathy and pity and right now are trying to think of some way that they could, you know, get him out of being executed for these sins? What if you took that exact same audience that's feeling sympathetic towards him, and if you showed them the baby pictures of the girl that this man raped? He was in for rape and murder. And what would happen if you took the baby pictures of the girl and you showed her when she was innocent? And here she is thinking that someday some pervert would come into her life and for self-gratification rape her, and then wouldn't even be man enough to face up to that and try and kill her to cover his own crime. I mean, a total disregard of her and just absolutely 100% selfish. What would happen if you showed the people her side of the things and showed her growing up and playing with dolls? And maybe she had these dreams and maybe she is engaged. I don't know what her situation was. But what if you would have shown all of the woman's side of the thing and show a man doing all of these terrible things to her? You could take the exact same people, and if they looked at her side of the issue, they would have become a vigilante committee that wanted to go hang this guy and kill him. They would have wanted to put him to death. They would have been the first one to throw the switch. But if you take the same group and show them only his side of the thing, then they become sympathetic towards it. And as I was looking at this, my heart was just totally, I could see that. It just depended on which side of the issue I was looking at. The Lord spoke to me and he says, that's exactly what Proverbs 13:10 is saying. If you are self-centered and only looking at things from your side of the issue, then it automatically makes you become angry because your rights have been violated, because this person did this, etc., etc., etc. You can't help but respond in anger if you are always thinking about, what about me? I've got rights. But on the other hand, if you got to where you thought more about other people than you did about yourself, you couldn't help but walk in love. You couldn't help but be a forgiving person. You have to be selfish to be angry. And you have to be, if you are loving and kind, it was automatic that you are not selfish. They are mutually exclusive. And if you can understand that, what a difference it would make in your life. It's not what people have done to you that have made you so angry. They may have done something that gave you an occasion, but you can choose to turn around and use that thing differently. You know, I can think of something that would parallel this story I was just talking about, that there was a woman, and this is a friend of mine, actually researched it, meant this woman, confirmed all of these things. But a woman's husband, they were both retired. He got up one Saturday morning and went down to this convenience store to buy something early in the morning, and he interrupted a robbery. They were robbing the store. And this man just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time, and a man went in there and literally took a hammer and drove it through this man's skull and killed him. He was high on dope and stuff like that. And immediately this woman lost her husband. She lost her maid of over 50 years. She lost her source of income. She lost everything. I mean, they had been looking forward to their retirement years. Everything was destroyed. How would you respond? Well, we'd like to think that we would take the high road, but you know what? There's a lot of you that I guarantee you would have so much hatred, and you would feel justified in being angry, and you would hate that person to their death. Well, it turned out that this woman was a Christian. And of course, she experienced some of those things. She had those feelings. But as she prayed about it, the Lord told her that, you know, it was going to destroy her. And this is a truth, that anger doesn't hurt the person you're angry at. It always hurts you worse than it hurts the person you're angry at. You somehow or another feel like you can't forgive them because you can't let them off the hook. But I tell you, anger destroys you, not the person you're mad at. The Lord ministered all this to this woman. She forgave that man and actually took her husband's Bible, the one that this man had killed, and took it to him in prison. He was convicted and put in prison. And she took this Bible that had his favorite scriptures underlined, wrote a thing in the front, and gave it to this man and said that she forgave him and that she was praying that he would find the Lord. Well, he did get born again. He eventually grew in the Lord, got released from prison, and he's now a minister. And he travels and ministers. And this woman, whose husband was killed by this man, travels with him and ministers often and testifies about how his life has been changed. And it is such a testimony. Now, see, many of you think, no, that can't happen. I'm telling you, it did happen. That is a true statement. And you know how it happened? Because that woman was able to commit her husband to the Lord. She knew that her husband was with the Lord, that she would see him again. And she was able to take the same forgiveness that she had received from Jesus and give it towards another person. And she got more concerned about that man's welfare than she was about what had happened to her. And because of that, it caused him to be converted. And now he's out reaching people, and hundreds and thousands of people are coming to know Jesus through a life that at one time was given over to just nothing but destruction. And you know how it happened? Through selflessness. That's the antidote. And you can do this. You can walk with the Lord in such a way that you let the Lord change your heart. And you actually love God first and love other people more than you love yourself. Again, I'm not talking about some kind of masochistic thing where you hate yourself and do damage to yourself. And I'm not saying that you hate yourself, but I'm just saying you love God and other people more than you love yourself. And you'll find out that that's the way that God created man to be, not to be self-centered. What we're seeing today is abnormal, and that's the reason we're seeing so many problems. I've got a tape on this entitled Self-Centeredness, the Source of All Grief, and I tell you, it's a life changer. Our announcer will give you some information, and I encourage you to please call or write today and receive that tape.
To listen to today's teaching, you can go to our website and click on Free Audio Teachings Online and search for the title, Self-Centeredness, the Source of Grief. This MP3 download is made available on our website at no charge. As Andrew mentioned on today's program, you can also get the teaching on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Simply request teaching TSK7 when you contact us. Be sure to specify either the CD or DVD teaching. The ministry is celebrating the New Year's holiday and our helpline is closed today. But you can always go to our website where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. Or if you prefer, you can write us. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. We hope to hear from you today.
I want to give you a special invitation to join me on January the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd in Phoenix, Arizona. We have struck a deal with the Arizona Biltmore Resort. It's a four-diamond resort that starts, the normal room rates start from $300 and go up from there. And we've negotiated a price of $139 for this special New Year's celebration. They're going to give that price for 3 days before and 3 days after. So you can come and enjoy a vacation in a first-class resort, plus get the Word of God. Remember, it's our Phoenix, Arizona Gospel Truth Seminar, January 1st, 2nd, and 3rd in Phoenix, Arizona.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Colorado Springs for the annual Charis Bible College Men's Advance, February 5th through the 7th, Houston, Texas, February 12th through the 14th, and in Atlanta, Georgia, March 5th through the 7th. He'll also be in Colorado Springs for the Charis Bible College Weekend, March 12th through the 14th, and in Merritt Island, Florida, April 19th through the 22nd. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I want to thank those of you who are partners with our ministry and for the way that you've helped us to reach out. And you know, we are literally impacting about one-third of the world's population can get this program. And that's because of our partners. But you know what? There's more. There's other people that have never heard these programs. We need to increase. And I'd like to ask you to consider giving in a time of famine. Other people may be drawing back, but man, I'm stretching out. I believe it's our opportunity, and I'm going to receive 100-fold for the effort that I'm putting into this, and I'd like you to be a part of it. So we have our web address, also our phone number there. I encourage you to call and become a partner today.
Yeah.
Join us next week as we present this special report on Andrew's second trip to Uganda.
This is Uganda. This is Uganda.